Now let's begin our look at our human story with some explanation of the timeline that we're considering here, because it is quite a long one and there tends to be a lot of complicated terminology. So Lee, why don't you wind us back to when we last shared an ancestor with a chimpanzee or an ape, that kind of thing. What is the basic story of our origins?
So the genetic record as well as the fossil record correspond with an idea that around 6 to 7 million years ago, we split off from an ape somewhere in Africa and began a journey as bipedal apes. We call those the hominins or hominids. And that journey progressed in the old story, at least the simplified story, from becoming first bipedal, then we came down from the trees, we acquired at some point in their tools, the brains got larger, and we set ourselves up for the origins of the genus Homo, which is typically been viewed as a big brain species using relatively complex tools, and that would lead in the last 2 million years or so to the origins of us.
So between 6 million and 2 million years ago, what sorts of creatures, our human relatives, were there knocking around?
So in the earliest part of this, we have creatures that go by names such as Ardipithecus, and then later the Australopithecines or Australopithecus. Those names really aren't so important. If you think of that earlier period, where you're thinking of something that is effectively more ape-like, traditionally thought of to have a smaller brain and generally more ape-like bodies, but still bipedal, thick enamel, small canines, things that characterize the hominids. And then after that, we have traditionally thought that there was larger brains, more complex tools, more complex behavior, long-distance walking, these sort of things. We've typically put those in the genus Homo.
What do we think made these individuals change over time and become ultimately us? What drove them to do that?
Well, you could ask almost any paleoanthropologist and they'd probably give you a different answer to that. But traditionally, we viewed it as ecological stresses, responses to the environment that would drive small changes, all these accumulating to build micro changes in a lineage. But I don't want to give the impression of this being some sort of straight linear line. The idea of that t-shirt that you see of the evolving human from an ape to a human, that's wrong. And certainly the discoveries of the last decade or so in paleoanthropology are showing that we can't view human evolution as simple.
Now, Lee's got us up to roughly 2-ish million years ago, Thomas. So what happens between 2 million years ago and the sort of time when we're around?
Well, it's at that point you start to see stone tools being produced, and it's a little bit before that. Very recently, last year, they found now the earliest stone tools in Kenya, and these are dated to 3.3, so they would have been around at the same time as the Australopithecines. But traditionally, up until last year, we see the very first stone tool technology, and that has been seen as being associated with Homo habilis, so the first species of the Homo genus.
So from about 2 million years ago, you get this genus Homo comes along and habilis meaning, you know, handy, using hands to make stuff.
Yes, absolutely. That stone tool technology stays with Homo habilis essentially for around a bit over a million years, until you see the onset of the Acheulean, which is a more complex technology. But that coincides with the emergence of Homo erectus or ergaster in Africa.
And that's what, a million years ago?
No, about 1.7, 1.8 million years ago.
And then Homo erectus carries on.
Absolutely.
And does that then hand on, Matthew, to Neanderthals? Where do they fit into the picture?
It was kind of simple in the past because we had Neanderthals and then the moderns come in. And the moderns come in, they wipe the Neanderthals out. But of course, the things I'm interested in are the molecules. And now the molecules are starting to tell a new and different story. Because what we're now seeing, of course, first of all, is that inside us, we have bits of Neanderthal. But in addition, there's another group that's been discovered from molecular data called the Denisovans. And even there's been some hints in the last couple of weeks of another species based entirely on the DNA found in hominids, so-called species X. So in fact, the story, which was quite simple, seems to be getting ever more complicated.
Lee, yes, do summarize and try and draw these strands together for us.
I think an important point that comes out of what's being led in here is that we thought we had a very simple record. We thought we had it figured out. Archaeology seemed to correspond with a fossil record. What I think has been overlooked by paleoanthropologists, archaeologists, and perhaps the public as well, is the idea that we have almost no direct association of these tools and this archaeology and these cultures with the physical species. We've just assumed that there's one species at one time, that the fossils that we find in a particular area broadly in the same time belong to a particular archaeology. And yet, that may not be true. As recently as 15 years ago, I could sit in a conference where you would hear senior scientists say there was only one species living at any one time in the past within our lineage. That was wrong.
Okay, well, you've learned one definite fact here on the Naked Scientists so far.